from the trenches.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Trenches, real life in the accounting industry. I'm your co-host David Boyer from SQL CFO, joined here with Paul Meisner, who isn't really here. He's out running the bulls in Spain, but we are both still brought to you by BGL Corporate, Australia's number one superannuation and corporate compliance software. Paul, did the bull catch you? Are you okay, mate?
Hola, saludos desde España. David, I am in Neja in Spain on my second remote working trip, having an absolute ball, actually. So learned a lot from when I did it 2 years ago and made some improvements. I've got data now. I tell you what, finding a data card in another city is as good as finding your favorite restaurant, I think. It makes it very good. So no, absolutely still able to bring you here. It is hot, very hot. Freezing in Melbourne, isn't it?
I think we cracked 10 degrees today.
Right. Well.
It's pretty cold.
Well, I am very hot, mate. About to hit to the beach, but not before we bring you this episode. David, get us fired away with Best on Ground.
My Best on Ground this week. I absolutely love this, Paul. Many people would say, David, you wouldn't know the first thing about farming. And I would say, you're probably right. But my favorite TV show is Landline, so I'm obviously completely up to date with what's happening in the world of farming. And I've always thought that accountants in rural areas have a very unique role to play, because you are a central pillar of that community. Now, you have parts of Australia. Queensland has been in drought for 6 years. It's become a bit politicized this week, but I know, I've always believed in my heart that accountants have a very special role. So, Paul, Best on Ground goes out to an amazing firm called Carrick Allen Group up in Toowoomba. Now, have you ever been to Toowoomba, Paul?
Never, mate. Never for me.
I must admit, I'm not entirely sure where it is. I think it's somewhere in central north Queensland. The taking the car from Caulfield to Collins Street most days of my life hasn't really exposed me to rural Australia too much, other than ABC's fantastic coverage of rural farming. Carrick Allen has gotten behind their community. They've signed up to this brilliant charity called Buy a Bale. buyabale.com.au/donate. And to get behind the community, they're trying to raise $2,000. Now, listeners, if you listen to From the Trenches, Real Life in the Accounting Industry, $2,000, it's not a lot of money. We should be able to bandy together. So, Paul, without approval from Carrick and Allen Group, because I just saw this before we did the show and haven't had time to reach out to them yet, but hopefully we will next week, I urge all From the Trenches listeners to get behind this great work this firm's doing to support local Toowoomba community. From the Trenches, you and I, Paul, this is where BGL sponsorship money is going, mate. We have bought 11,500 litres of water for a grand total of $250 to support drought relief efforts over up there in Toowoomba. Now, that's 250 watts. That's like 12% of what they're trying to raise, mate. It's not much. From the Trenches community, get behind these guys. We'll have the links up on social media, and hopefully we'll get someone from Carrick and Allen on next week if they say yes. I'm sure they'll take our money, though.
Hopefully, yes. No, I'm sure they will. Certainly, they need water. A lot about the drought, but it'd be good to hear from them, actually, about what it's like up there, and certainly great to see accountants taking an active role in their community. So very good. Hopefully they raise their goal. Best on Ground for me, why outsourcing will be key to business survival. This is really interesting. You know, outsourcing's just been such an issue that we've heard about over the years. This is in the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Probably don't sit out there in the first people to talk about these kind of topics.
You are mainstream if the AICD are talking about you. That is a serious outfit.
Exactly. So look, they're broken down into industry looking at outsourcing, and certainly the professional, technical, scientific services and the sort of business area gets a lot of interest in outsourcing. Outsourcing to me, you know, and I think there's certainly a lot, we've covered this a couple of times on the show, David, is it is a great step between the automation that you can use, get with technology. Getting staff, hiring staff, Fair Work, we've covered a lot, especially with Kate Carnell in that episode. You know, it's just so hard to hire people. So outsourcing has been a massive thing. There is also a checklist. So the AICD have covered in this and calling it a key to business survival. The link will be in the notes. Certainly hitting the mainstream there, David. You've got another best on ground?
I do, but I thought that AICD one was quite interesting because, first of all, it's the AICD. So we're really, you're really talking about mainstream, and they're talking about big companies. I just want to quote one line from this, Paul, because I've just pulled it up now and having a look. They're saying that the end game is to create a more virtual corporation, and it says that the vital elements of a successful modern business are unique IP, a unique organizational culture, and first-class leadership. Hard to argue with that, Paul. Very hard to argue with that.
Absolutely.
And yes, my second best on ground, as listeners will know, I love it when accountants go outside our normal, the normal people who we talk to, and we try to take accounting to the masses. I saw two great examples of it this week. The first, Brad Turville, runs a firm up in Brisbane, got himself on Cochise Business Builders, talking about the importance of having not only a great accountant by your side, but a great accountant who understands the cloud and what cloud systems can do for your business. KBB, obviously, a huge audience of small and medium business owners. And can I call her from the trenches' own Lillette Collegia, Paul? Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, probably. Why not? You just did.
My show, mate. Do whatever we want. From the trenches' own Lillette Collegia had a fantastic article up on Inside Small Business. A lot of people, I think, talk about Smart Company as being the big small business journal, but you Google Small Business News and Inside Small Business comes up, which surprised me when I was looking at it. But I love to see accountants out in the mainstream educating the community that we can do so much more than just talking to them once a year about their tax returns, mate. Good on you guys. Spread the good word of accounting.
Yes, absolutely. Let's move on. What do you have? Worst on ground, David?
You've got a massive worst on ground, mate. Do I need to wind you up for this one, or do you think you can do it yourself?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I can. I'm pretty sure I can manage. Look at this. People who know.
Yes, here we go. Yes.
People know me.
I'm cheering from a distance.
And those who have seen seen my Twitter feed in the last sort of 24 hours will see that. Look, there are certain people who comment on the industry. Software companies that love talking about what accountants should and shouldn't do. Sam Allett from Reckon. Reckon have had a rough kind of time lately. I guess there was the Myob buyout, which didn't eventuate. They've had, late to market, I think, is an understatement in terms of cloud technology. They really did stick to the desktop, especially the practice management space, and really didn't see that cloud move. Anyway, Sam Allett is fresh off their white-labeled product with IPA. He's in the journal of the IPA talking about making your firm future-proof. Now, David, the article was talking about automation and that kind of stuff, but He used some interesting phrases and almost lectured accountants to be ready for change and at the forefront and to be the vanguard of their industry, and really making sure that if they don't change, they may not be around. They may not be around for everyone. And now, I just personally, David, just could not. Part of me just can't take it from a company like Reckon that has just sat on their hands and absolutely tried to flog the life out of a product that hasn't changed, that is desktop-based, and they just thought that it would always be the cash cow. There's no need to be innovative. I just couldn't take it, David. And I had to say something on Twitter.
And yes, you did, Paul, because it's well, like we said last week with this whole the Reckon merger and Sholto's article that got behind it, it stands out because Reckon is not the most innovative piece of software in Australia, not by far. You and I have had the pleasure of sitting down with Ron Leash from BGL, and he talks about how hard it's been to innovate over 30 years, And we know that Reckon didn't innovate. We know they thought desktop was a long time. It's very funny sentiment to come out, given that when the deal fell through with Myob, Tim Reid's reaction was, the CEO of Myob, was almost one of celebration. It was almost like he dodged a bullet. Now, either Myob genuinely think that they got under the hood and it was worse than what they thought it would be, and that they're happy that they've freed up the cash, or that's the greatest comms and PR job we've seen in the industry in a very, very long time. Well, actually, since Alex Malley, before we worked out, he was a bit of a con. So other than that, Paul, it stands out, mate. I don't... It is a bit rich coming from a company not known for innovation.
Anyway, telling us that we should change, otherwise bad things may happen. Reckon and Kodak are probably, apart from the fact that Kodak developed their own product, but you know, I think compared to accounting firms, Reckon is far closer to Blockbuster. I'd call them Blockbuster. Reckon are the Blockbuster of our industry.
But Blockbuster's literally out of business. I think there's one block. There's one Blockbuster left in Australia. Do you know where it is, Paul?
Alaska, I hear.
No, in Australia. In Australia, there's in Australia.
No idea.
Have a guess. Have a guess which capital city's got a Blockbuster.
Is it Tassie? Somewhere in Tassie? No idea.
Adelaide. Those forward thinkers over in Central Australia.
Right. There you go. I didn't know that. I think there's still one in Alaska too, but anyway, whatever. Look, very good. What's your worst on ground?
Well, it's got to be not. We can't not comment on this, Paul. We're not a very political show, but what the hell is going on? You actually had 3 days where you didn't know who was leading our country. And that meant that there was 3 days that we had politicians not doing their job, which is unbelievable given, and we've commented on the show already, Paul, there's a massive backlog of legislation relating to small business and tax that they have not passed. The worst part is, while this whole debacle was happening, the Senate knocked back the proposed tax cuts. It's very hard to read about that because they were all obsessed with who was in fact in charge and who the new cabinet was going to be. But what an absolute disastrous display of leadership. The worst part about it, Paul, is this is, I think, the equal third lowest poll that came out this week for a sitting party. So this whole thing was about getting polls up, and they've been absolutely, well, they haven't achieved their goals through that. And now I'm reading the PR spin. This is the next gen coalition. You know when I want a next gen coalition, Paul? At an election. That's what it's designed to do. There's about 7 prime ministers in 10 years. Meanwhile, things that actually need to happen, and I know you've got the list of things because you've reported on the list before, just sitting there in Canberra piling up, collecting dust. Talk about operating in a world of business uncertainty. I think it's crazy because I think business certainty is the number one thing that promotes investment in small, medium businesses. Because they literally wake up and think, how do I feel about my business today? Oh, good. I'm going to spend money.
You're absolutely right, David. I mean, the list is massive. No, I mean, we can't even, it's too long to go through, but superannuation guarantee, amnesty, a single touch payroll for small businesses, the extension of the 20 grand small business instant asset write-off, like that even hasn't got the tick. CGT concessions, main residence changes. There's a lot. You know, and I think the worst for me is that there isn't, in the middle of a banking royal commission, it's going to take, I think, 2 to 3 weeks to get a financial services minister appointed. Yeah, we're seeing that, you know, the biggest upheaval we're talking about, you know, we're wanting to revisit the accountants exemption, all this sort of stuff. There is just, small business needs certainty, as you said, David, but there is a lot of work to do, and that is not helped by the fact that they can't, they're not getting on themselves. We're going to lead into an election, and it can't really get worse. It can't really get worse. We need them firing. The interesting thing for me was I actually spent an extended time thanks to travel delays in the Hong Kong airport lounge, and even the bartender in the Hong Kong lounge who was serving us laughed at 2 things, David, when he heard we were Australian, laughed at our politicians and our cricket team. And I thought, unfortunately, both of them were very valid.
Well, I'm surprised they even know about the cricket team over in... Actually, Hong Kong plays in the One Day League, don't they?
They're in the next tier. This guy, a very nice guy, his name was Shiraz, and he was working at a bar. How's that for irony? But he had spent a lot of his time in Britain, so he was well-versed in the cricket and in global affairs.
But, Paul, very seriously, though, Paul, this goes back to something that you and I really get upset about, which is failure of leadership. We don't ask for much. We ask that if you take on a leadership position, that you are aware of what that role entails and that you deliver it. And the number one thing for me, Paul, is that you are there for the duration that you say you're going to be there. You come up with a vision and you work your butt off to get us towards it. And I'm just not seeing any of that out of our elected leaders at the moment.
There was a wonderful, very quickly on Twitter, there was a wonderful picture that it showed the timeline of all of the prime ministers, with obviously a lot of sort of heads at one end lately, and it was the date that Twitter started. And it was it aligned. Just because it is doesn't mean, you know, correlation isn't causation, but it was a very interesting picture that sort of Twitter started, and then there was just this absolute upheaval, which I thought was funny, not necessarily that it's accurate or that it caused it, just that it was an interesting view. So for in-depth topic today, David, we want to look at remote working. As we said earlier, I am sitting here in an apartment in Neja, in Spain, on the Costa del Sol, 7-week remote working trip. What we wanted to do, I think it's becoming a bit more of a thing. Certainly, I think everyone's checked emails and whatever while we're in work. The technology allows us to sort of be connected while we're on holiday. But what I particularly want to talk about, what we want to talk about today, is this concept where you're actually remote working. You know, it's not a holiday, and certainly one of the points is that's very hard to differentiate what is a holiday and what is work. But, you know, I did this 2 years ago and learnt an awful lot about, well, travelling with kids, number one, but also trying to work with kids. And what we wanted to do was maybe give a few sort of key tips about the remote working remote working trip. The three things, David, that I've really learned, especially from last time, that really worked at the moment, was I took a week off. I actually put the out of office on. I told clients that I was taking a week off in order to get here. And certainly what that did was, relocating to Europe is hard with or without kids, airplanes, airport delays. We managed to fit in Disneyland on the way through for the kids, but
oh yeah, cry me a river. You really struggle. what a horrible delay.
But interestingly, last year two years ago, I didn't put my out of office on. So I tried so hard to convince myself and everyone that I wasn't going to drop any balls at work, and I ended up having to do 8 hours of work from the Doha airport. And it just, I got over here and I hadn't. Didn't give myself a chance to settle in. So gave myself almost a full week, you know, sort of 5 days to get over here, and really was able to hit the ground running a little more. Was one massive thing. I haven't found an office to work in. I'm working in the apartment, which is it is hard. Kids wake up. My daughter, actually my 2-year-old, came out and sat out on the balcony with me this morning, playing on her iPad, and she got her headphones because I was wearing some headphones on some Skype calls. It was very, very cute, but it is hard to work. David, have you ever thought about remote working? What's your take on it?
Well, I do it to the extent, my wife's family's up in Brisbane, so we go up to Brisbane for probably around 6 weeks of the year over. Anywhere from 3 to 4 trips, probably more than that, actually, probably 8 weeks a year over 3 to 4 trips, or more, 8 weeks over 6 trips. How's that for specific? So I'm traveling a lot. It's not an overseas trip, but I definitely need to have access to my entire business effectively. And it's not so much, I've always found that because we started in the cloud, the business processes work fine from any machine and any PC. I've always got my laptop with me anyway. So that was kind of the easy bit. The hard bit was the people and the relationships that I need in my business. Because even though a lot of what we do is online, you know, our leadership groups in five different locations and was in three different countries last week. We still managed to meet. I think that you need to let people's expectations change a bit. And I know you're big on you can work from anywhere and it shouldn't have any impact on the client, but I just find that it does a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had one client, and this is the thing I didn't do. I'd forgotten that one particular client was a little bit worried that it was gonna change, or that the service was gonna drop, that kind of thing. They couldn't get in touch, and in fact, it wasn't until I got over here. I think I spoke to him from Hong Kong, but it was. I'm like, oh damn, I forgot that client had a problem with it. But interestingly, we've got right into a so maybe I don't know whether this is just 2 years on or it's the second time. I've sort of probably spoken to him three times in the last couple of days since I've been here. So it's actually really worked for that client. But it is hard. You know, I think it is hard for some clients, but others just, on the whole part, I reckon it's really, really quite easy.
One of the big challenges for me, on top of the remote working, is I take a lot of time off, particularly in September for the Jewish high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the sort of things that listeners would have heard of in Seinfeld in the 90s. Those days are tough for me because I'm completely offline. Like, I'm not checking phones, I'm not checking emails, all the machines are off. I find that harder because the tech lets me work from anywhere. Like, I've literally worked overlooking Stradbroke Island down at Moreton Bay, which is usually where I am when I'm up in Brizzy, and there's very little interruption from that point of view. I'll be honest, Paul, I find it hard to switch off. I really do find it hard to not be on my phone and checking stuff pretty consistently. This is why I've chosen not to put Slack into our business, because I think Slack makes everything urgent. Like, I reckon I'll lose control on Slack. I don't trust myself. And I've seen how you go on Twitter, mate. I'd be surprised if you'd be efficient on Slack as well.
I think, yeah, and we kind of do. I mean, I've only got one staff, as the listeners know. And so, and Skype. Look, Skype tends to be my Slack channel, I guess. You know, there's always sort of little messages with everything. The difference between working is tough. I've probably found it harder this time to get back and knuckle down to work. I don't know whether that's different location. We actually have my in-laws are with us, which arguably has given a bit more.
Does it make a difference that your kids are older?
Probably. It's interesting because it probably should make it easier to work because they're better entertained by a pool or by an iPad rather than being dependent on Mel and I being there. But I don't know, it's almost had the adverse effects. I've only been here for sort of, I think we're two working days, so it's not, we're still only just getting back into the swing of it. And I suppose the interesting bit is after taking a week off, it always takes a couple of days to get back in the swing of it, clear all your emails, get through your to-do list, that kind of thing. One of the real struggles for me is in this remote working, especially being in Europe, is the restricted hours from 7 a.m. And I was up sort of, I think, 6:30 local time here this morning, which was 2:30, I think, back home or back in Melbourne, to have a call. But that 2:30 or 3 p.m. Melbourne to 5 or 6 p.m. Melbourne goes so quick, you know. And once you miss that, it's sort of you've got to wait till 2 p.m. Melbourne time again to call the client or to get back because it's overnight. You know, that's something that I've got to get back in tune with, picking the right time. But it's possible. But I think it's, you know, like, everyone should have a go of it. I will be writing some blogs and doing some more about updating the trip.
I want to share, there's one other point I want to make. I just want to share a story I heard. This week I was in a firm, and no joke, mate, there would have been 20 USBs out the front of the receptionist computer. Obviously, the MIOB backup files from MIOB desktop
the days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this firm still uses it, and I was trying to explain why you need at least dock storage on the cloud. Like, just forget accounting, just the document storage and the benefits of that. My CFO, Lance Rubin, is in the middle of a global tour of financial modeling training. He was in India last week. And this is the power of LinkedIn, mate. He got 50 people to a conference in India through LinkedIn partnerships and LinkedIn direct sales. Like, that's amazing, first of all. I think that's incredible. But he's sitting there and he's about to do this big day presentation. Room's packed. His hardboard fries. Computer completely crashes. He's got a room full of people. What do? Borrows a computer off someone, downloads everything. Within 20 minutes, he's up and running again. There's an absolute endorsement of why you should have your backups done on the cloud and why you should be running a cloud-based practice for doc storage. But my other just final comment, I guess, Paul, you and I, when we do these travels and we do the working from different locations, our businesses are already set up to do this. And this is the critical thing. We're not leaving in the middle of change. We're not leaving with certain parts of our business requiring desktop or the way you service clients being very face-to-face, hands-on. Our businesses are run in this sort of more new age way where client servicing can be done remotely, but the actual doing of the work is done, you know, mostly inside an internet browser. I think that's a critical thing that has to be in place before you start doing remote working.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, David. You've got to have your systems in check. I mean, I did remote working, David, nine years ago, using a system called LogMeIn.
Oh yeah,
which
it's still around.
Which would actually it was the old, you know, Citrix server based remote desktop. So as long as my desktop at the office was still on, I could log in, you know, I could turn my end into an internet browser. So, look, I mean, I think even if your systems aren't all right, you can always have remote access to your desktop. Mm. You know, I think in professional services, the face-to-face stuff is good, and notwithstanding the limited hours, contact hours because of the time zones. You know, I really think clients just want to know that you're giving them the answer. They don't really care whether it's face-to-face or not. You know, even the traditional firms these days really do a lot via phone and email. You know, they're probably not doing it on Twitter or Slack or those kind of things. But most firms, you know, I would say 99% of firms now are really into that email and phone call. Look, a very interesting, just one more interesting point which talks about remote work. Nick, my staff member, his fiancée wanted to relocate back to China to be with family. It was a sort of a little bit of a rush decision and left Nick, who works in the office in Melbourne, I guess in a bit of a spot. And look, because of the way our firm operates with the technology, I sort of said to him, look, go to China, work for a month in China, be with your fiancée, be with her family. You know, don't let this just be a point where you've got to use the distance relationship. Pick up the laptop, call me when you get there. And look, he did. You know, that we had a few issues, and obviously with technology and timing and those kind of things. So, look, remote working's not without its struggles. But I look at that story, or you know, when I think about that story, is for he is such an important part of my business that if you had to lose your key staff member just because they were relocating geographically, relocating geographically, you know, the impact on your business would be huge. You know, I hate to think if he had to quit to relocate or whatever. You know, I think there's just so much power in it now, and I kind of feel that people put roadblocks or reasons why they can't in the way. I think it's possible. The technology's there, David. We're going to hopefully lead an industry full of remote workers.
What's the worst thing that's happened while remote working for you? Because you've done it overseas. I haven't had anything really bad, but have you had anything bad?
Look, missing certain meetings, not being able to, you know, not being able to do the networking, missing Xerocons, you know, used to be probably bigger than they are now. you know, in terms of what I got out of them. You don't, the last time 2 years ago, I missed out on a lot of that business development work.
It's hard to grow when you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't follow up every lead.
But that's because you don't like selling and you don't do marketing and you don't automate your sales processes, mate.
Exactly. No. And oh, look, I'm not in a growth phase, which certainly helps. But look, internet dropping out, clients needing an urgent answer at sort of an earlier time. But I'm lucky because Nick's still there. So, you know, if anything, this remote working actually extends the hours of our business because, you know, the reason you have support centers in other countries is sort of if it's after hours, I can pick up the query. If it's too early for me or normal Australian business hours, Nick gets it. So, you know, kind of that works, again, as long as your technology's in place. There is an argument to say you should be able to give better service. But look, it's interesting. You just got to try it. I mean, but the benefits to watch my two kids play with, they're actually spending this week with their cousin here, and to see them share those times and meet other kids on the beach and in the playground that they don't share a language with, but they. They make up the same games. I mean, I think our kids played catch in the pool with two kids from Belgium yesterday, and they were, managing to communicate just fine. So, you know, it's those moments after hours. So you put up with the remote working, and you put up with the sort of trials and tribulations to be able to spend 7 weeks away with your family in an environment where you otherwise wouldn't.
That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard you say on From the Trenches, mate. And a beautiful note to end the show on. Listeners, I do have a call out, though. I'm starting a new podcast because I can't get enough with just Paul. Your Financial Mentor News, a video series I was running on LinkedIn, now available on the Acast Network. Check it out. It'll be launching in the next week. But otherwise, that's it from me. I'll see you all at ZeroCon. If you're there, come up and say g'day. I'll be roaming around with my microphone. Sadly, Paul, you're not going to be there, mate. I'm going to have to fly the flag for From the Trenches by myself.
Absolutely. Have fun at ZeroCon. Enjoy ZeroCon, everyone. I will be following from Twitter from a distance. Otherwise, though, still reach out. Love to hear from everyone, and we'll still be bringing you the show.
See ya.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of From the Trenches. David and I love hearing feedback from all of our listeners. If you ever have any content, feel free to reach out. I can be reached at Paul Meissner on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Fiveways Group.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, B-O-Y-A-R, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.